As the elder of service mentioned this morning, we spoke about Jesus as the captain of salvation, and the text was from Hebrews 2, verse 10, where we read, "For it was fitting for him, that is for God, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation," referring to Jesus, "perfect through sufferings." And we thought about that this morning. And this afternoon we want to read from Ephesians chapter 3. And we will read the whole chapter. And the text is especially verse 7 and 8. But it's about how the Lord leads captivity captive and gives many gifts as the captain of salvation. And how we should be thankful. That's what we want to think about this afternoon. But let's read the whole chapter because it reflects what it means to live in thanksgiving before God, in His church, and with one another. So let's read God's word. Ephesians 4. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth." We're reading from Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm at the 10th verse. "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Verse 17 of Ephesians 4, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It's a lengthy chapter, but it shows us the wonderful grace of God and what it means to live by His grace in our lives. And we want to think about that further. For our confession of faith this afternoon, let's just read together what we want us to think about also this afternoon, as we find it in Lord's Day 21 in the back of the Psalter, what the Christian believes on three questions. You find it on page 49 in the back of the Psalter. This will be our confession of faith this afternoon, and we will come back to this in the sermon too. Page 49 in the back of the Psalter, we have three questions. And we have Bible-based instruction on these three questions. Question 54. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic, that is universal, Christian Church of Christ? Answer, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to Himself, by His Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Next question, what do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer, first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully, to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. And the last question, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? Answer, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Well, the theme of the sermon this afternoon is living most thankfully for the captain of our salvation. That's how we thought about Jesus this morning. He's the captain of our salvation. Living most thankfully before Him, considering just three special gifts from Him. And we'll go through that this afternoon. Living most thankfully before the captain of our salvation. Yes, considering His gifts to His people. That's the theme for this afternoon's sermon. Today we've been talking all day about Christ as the captain of our salvation. And in the reading of Ephesians 4, we see a connection because we're told there about the Lord Jesus, really as the captain of salvation, ascending into heaven and leading captivity captive and giving gifts to men. And these gifts are for His people. And it refers in the context, really, the gift of the Holy Spirit, but also many other gifts that the Lord gives to His people, as many as follow Him. Listen here again to verse 7 and 8 of Ephesians 4. There Paul says to the believers in the church in Ephesus, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That phrase, He led captivity captive, is all about the captain of salvation delivering us from the curse and the bondage and the punishment belonging to Satan of ourselves, and delivering us from that and leading us instead in His grace and mercy and love according to the measure of His goodness and grace, according to the measure of Christ's gift, yes, as Savior of sinners. You see, through Jesus Christ, the captain of salvation, we are delivered from the worst of evil situations and brought into the best and most wonderful of situations. Indeed, instead of being left in our ruined, blind, corrupted, lost state, in our sins, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, when belonging to Him, we may be redeemed. We may be loved forever. Always accepted of God, through the blood and righteousness of Christ, the Savior of sinners, the captain of our salvation. Oh, what a gospel! And you see, this afternoon we want to think about how great this gospel is and how we should be thankful for this gospel and what God gives His people. Are you thankful today, after also participating in Lord's Supper? What does it mean to live most thankfully before the captain of our salvation as revealed in the Bible, as given by God the Father, and as made known to us in the Scriptures? Well, let's think about that. With this as our theme about being thankful, and with Ephesians 4 as the background, and also the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21, the Bible-based teaching there, let's consider together three most precious gifts to be very thankful for. Do you know what three gifts I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about the three mentioned in Lord's Day 21. Many times in the past, here in this church, I have had separate sermons on each of those questions in Lord's Day 21. But this time, we're going to think about all three, and we're going to think about them in the light of being truly thankful for those three blessings mentioned in Lord's Day 21. All three gifts are blood-bought gifts from Christ and can only be known and enjoyed by us in union and communion with Christ, having Him as our Savior and Lord. Yes, as the captain of our salvation. The first precious gift to be very thankful for is belonging to Christ's church. Really belonging to it. As explained in question and answer 54. There the Christian is asked, question 54, what do you believe concerning the holy, Catholic, that is worldwide, Christian church of the Lord Jesus? What do you believe? And the Bible-based answer given by the true child of God is, I believe concerning the holy, Catholic, that is worldwide, Christian church, what I believe about it is that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to Himself by His Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Isn't that a wonderful answer when you think it through? This confession, dear congregation, about the true Christian church brings out so clearly the work of, or the church is the work of God triune from beginning to end. And if you and I are a part of that church, really, that's God's grace and mercy in our lives. Church, biblically speaking, is not a building. And it's not just a group of people with the same culture or with common interests. No, but it is the called and purchased, redeemed, renewed, elect people of God in all ages from around the world. It is that people joined to God and to one another in God's grace and mercy in and through Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. And what reasons to be thankful for this when we may be part of that church? The Christian church is not a human project, but it's a divinely called, gathered, cared for work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And imagine being part of that. Truly to belong to that is really something. And truly belonging means confessing most humbly and ever gratefully, being part of that people chosen to everlasting life and agreeing with other believers in that same faith. Oh, what can compare with that? To be a living member of Christ's body, of Christ's church. The only basis for such hope and such confidence is never in ourselves, in yourself or myself, but it's always in and through Christ, having Him as the captain of our salvation. Yes, look what Christ has done, as given by the Father and anointed by the Holy Spirit, sinners like us to save, to redeem. On the basis of the gospel, word, and sacrament, I can know and be assured, even, ever depending on the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection on sinners' behalf, ever trusting him by God's grace and through his Spirit and word, I can know that I belong to him and forever shall be one of his people. And how can we ever be thankful enough for this, dear congregation? Belonging to Christ's church in spirit and truth, now and forevermore. The church of the Lord, do you know, it'll outlast all human institutions and all works of people here on earth. Consider, too, how the church of the Lord is the oldest company of people surviving all generations. And it's the most varied, made up of people from every tribe and tongue and nation and of all ages and status. It will also be the longest organization or body of people with the most longevity, even forever. For sure, too, we can say it's the happiest and most blessed company of people in all the world, God's people, in every century. And the company of God's people are the people that bring greatest blessings to others here on earth. Oh, happy the nation where God's people, as Church of the Lord, is spiritually alive and living to God's praise and honor and for their neighbor's well-being. It's true. Tell me if you think this is true. No society can be truly blessed without the living Church of the Lord among them. And every church, every society is really blessed with the living Church of the Lord among them. Are you most thankful today? Yes, heartily and humbly and enthusiastically. So really grateful to belong to God's people and to be part of His one holy Catholic, that is, universal Christian church. That church is called in Ephesians 5, the body of Christ. And in Ephesians 3, the family of God. And elsewhere in Song of Solomon and in Revelation, as well as in Ephesians 5, the church is called the bride of Christ. Who can tell the privileges and the benefits of being part of that holy, blood-bought people of God in Christ Jesus by His Spirit and Word? Here, just think with me of all those outside the body of Christ. You know, so many people around us, they belong to all kinds of organizations and companies and religious bodies. But none of them can provide all that is found for God's people belonging to Christ and His church. All the false religions and all the human clubs and man-made organizations in history don't measure up and can't compare to belonging to Christ and His church. Even in the minutest way, they can't compare. And when you realize all this, doesn't it make us small, beloved? Small before God and one another, when we may be part of His church by His grace alone? Shouldn't it make us so humbly thankful that God would show us such mercy and grace, bringing us into His church and making us living members thereof by His word and spirit? Are you thankful for this? Doesn't that make you and me also thankful, very thankful, when we are thankful to belong to a local congregation of the Lord's church? How thankful we should be for that. And this congregation too is not a perfect church. You won't find a perfect church. But it is a church that does seek to be as faithful as possible to God and to His word from Genesis to Revelation. And shouldn't we be thankful for that? And that we may have the Bible-based, gospel-focused, triune-mindful, grace-saturated Reformation heritage, always again pointing us to Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, as the way, the truth, and the life for us. How really grateful we should be for this, or not? When we are most thankful also for the Christian church locally, as we may belong to it here, won't we love that body of people? In thankfulness to God for His redemption and His church, where He delights to dwell and show Himself in the preaching of His word and with the administration of the two sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper, and where He shows His loving kindness and tender mercy in all kinds of ways. Shall we not show sincere commitment and loving care and steadfast devotion to the congregation of the Lord, where God has providentially placed us and where He blesses us time and again under the ministry of His Word? Oh yes, the church is much broader, thank God, than any local congregation. But love for the cause of Zion, for the Lord's church, can never just be general. But it is shown rather in local membership to a faithful church and hearty participation in that church as God grants and enables us so to serve. You know, sometimes in church life, people can grumble and complain a lot, or sit on the sideline, mostly only for all kinds of reasons, being indifferent, whatever, hardly becoming involved in the life of the church, and seldom reliable nor consistent in attending and giving of self for the church and its ministry. But is that the way to respond when truly belonging to Christ's church? The Catechism Answer 54 speaks of being a living member of the church. And that is what all God's true people want to be. Isn't that true? You don't want to be a dead member, a lifeless member. Oh, the unbeliever and the hypocrite, they don't mind just being a lifeless member, just being outwardly connected to the church. But when we know something truly of being delivered by our captain of salvation from sin and from Satan and this ungodly world, and we are His, then when we know something about being guided and guarded and saved by Him, then we rejoice in Him and being with Him in His church and under His ministry and being with His people. And we see them then, don't we, as the greatest privilege and honor there ever could be. And that God gives us opportunity in this. Oh, we delight then in this, and we delight in His church. And we seek to give ourselves for it, even in the smallest of ways and the most unknown, unnoticed type of ways. Doesn't matter. Our love is for Him and His church. Well, does this find an echo in your mind and heart, thinking of being thankful this afternoon for God's mercies to us? Oh, are you so very grateful for the Christian church and belonging to it in spirit and truth? If you are someone still a stranger to Christ and not much interested in church, in the Lord, and maybe very sporadic in attendance and participation in the church, well, also in this sermon, God is lovingly and graciously calling you to repent of sin and to turn to Jesus, to be your Savior and Lord, and to also become part of His body, His church. The captain of salvation leads captivity captive and brings us into the greatest and eternal family of God. He redeems His people by His precious blood, and He clothes us with the robes of His righteousness as crucified and risen Savior. And He defends and upholds His people till the end. Oh, the Lord God is yet calling and gathering sinners. He's still leading more captivity captive to Him by His Word and Spirit. May He do so also here this afternoon. Also for the covenant children and youth among us, you are privileged to be raised in the church. But just to be in the church in that way is a great blessing. But you need to personally become converted to God and to have the Lord Jesus in your heart and life. You need to be born again and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life. Will you do that? Do you care for that? Do you pray for that? What a blessing to be raised in the church. And what a blessing when being raised in the church and under the ministry of the Word, your heart opens to God by His Spirit. And you say, Lord, be my Savior. Be the captain of my salvation too. You know, it's not negative or oppressive to belong to the true church of the Lord. But actually, it's the most liberating and the most exhilarating, most comforting and stimulating matter, truly. Isn't this, dear congregation, what we need to show also and to demonstrate to those around us, in our families and to those beyond, how blessed to be in the company of God and His people and in the ministry of the gospel in his church, ministered to by the captain of our salvation, by word and sacrament. Yes, not only because belonging to Christ and his church is something so inexpressibly gracious and good, but think too what God's people get to enjoy together. Something so very special and out of this world, really. And here I come to the second gift we should be so thankful for. And what is that? It's the communion of saints. The communion of saints. And saints means not special, special people. It means sinners saved by grace. God's believing people. What is the communion of saints? It refers to God's people having fellowship with Christ, union with him, and through union and fellowship with him, union and fellowship with his people. When we confess in the Apostles' Creed, as we did this morning also, we also say then, don't we, each Sunday, I believe one holy Catholic, that is worldwide church, the communion of saints. We don't say, I believe one holy universal church and the communion of saints. No, believing in the church means also the communion of saints. The two are intimately linked. You never can have the Christian church in truth where you don't also have the communion of God's people, one with each other in the Lord and by his grace and spirit. And congregation, what can compare to the experience and the joy of the communion of saints already here below? The blessing of the communion of saints already here on this earth, oh, it's really something. Yes, in this side of heaven, it's often spoiled, can easily be spoiled because of our sins and our hurting one another, which we still do, regrettably. But that communion of saints, it will be perfected one day, that's God's promise, and we shall never again hurt each other, and it shall never be soiled or spoiled in any way. Think of it in glory, we will never have to say sorry to one another. Never. It will only endlessly and purely be ecstatically enjoyed, communion with God and communion with one another in the Lord. But already here, all God's people, even in spite of our sinful self still too often, we can know and experience something of this most precious blessing and gift and benefit of the communion of saints. Do you know what that means literally? Well, listen to the Heidelberg Catechism's beautiful Bible-based explanation again to this question. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Listen, the Christian answers, I understand by the communion of saints, as God enables it by his grace and spirit in Christ Jesus, first, that all and everyone who believes being members of Christ are in common partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. And secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ or to use his gifts for the advantage and salvation or good of other members. Well, do you see? Do you see here, dear congregation, this explanation how we are, when we are true Christians belonging to Christ and his church, we learn and we grow in learning. We should never put ourselves above another. Never put ourselves above another. And we always should look out for one another. And do you see too in this answer that the heart and secret of true, joyful, steadfast, humble, helping communion of saints is being, first of all, joined to Christ in true faith in him. Led as captivity captive by him and his grace in our lives. It is a Savior and belonging to him, being joined to him in true faith, that brings a bond with all others who trust and follow him by his word and spirit. You know, when people are not experiencing a bond of communion with other believers is most often because we are not viewing each other as in the Lord, but rather in all kinds of external and outward ways which don't really count at all. Christian unity is not about uniformity in everything, but rather it's about together, one and all, finding our all and all in Christ Jesus and glorying in him, the captain of our salvation, and being caught up in unison, relying upon him and rejoicing in and following after him, Jesus Christ the Lord. You know, the more you and I are focused on Christ Jesus and His blessed gospel through His precious blood, even to save a sinner like you and like me, the more we will find and experience most wonderful communion of saints with other believers inside our local congregation and outside this church with other believers in other churches. The bond of the communion of saints is the sweetest and the strongest of bonds in all the world. And it too is always experienced and enjoyed only by grace through faith in Christ. The communion of saints is always by God's Spirit, graciously and generously blessing us in union and communion with the Savior and with one another, as equally poor and needy sinners, all together finding all our refuge and salvation in and with the Lord alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, are you thankful? Are you thankful for the communion of saints? As we may have and enjoy that also here among us, especially too at the Lord's table. Shouldn't we be most thankful, congregation, and express that also in the grace of the exercise of the communion of saints in our lives as God gives us opportunity? I mean, do you and I, as confessing Christians, also belonging to this church, do we know and do we show it to be our delightful duty and privilege most readily and cheerfully to employ whatever gifts and talents God has given us for the advantage and salvation of others, of other members, and those around us, as the Catechism puts it? Do you and I just so much enjoy seeking to be a blessing to others in whatever ways we might be so, without ever also expecting or even demanding others return our kindnesses and favors to them? You know how good it is when in our families, our children and youth witness us as older ones repeatedly praying for others in the church family and beyond, and looking out in smaller and larger ways to encourage and to benefit others with our love and our care and our provision. You know, it can be by text messages, by visits, by phone calls, by emails, by providing special meals, by babysitting, or by giving a book, or whatever way may come to your mind. The joy of giving of ourselves for the encouragement and the blessing of others in building each other up in the bond of the communion of saints is, in fact, without a doubt, one of the greatest of blessings on this earth. And to know, again, it will only be perfected and endlessly enjoyed in the hereafter by all God's people. What a blessing to look forward to in the world to come. By God's grace and mercy, congregation, can we not speak of the blessing of the communion of saints also among us, exercised in our congregation by God's grace and Spirit? I mean, isn't it shown among us in all kinds of ways, large and small, also among us? Thanks be to God. Yes, especially when people are going through hard times and maybe suffering affliction or weakness or frailty. Or maybe someone has a really wonderful, joyful event. Well, what a blessing when we help and encourage one another in these times. Could the communion of saints be exercised more among us? What do you think? Surely it could be. And perhaps it should be too. Or not. I mean, ask yourself, what about you? Giving yourself in the fellowship by maybe attending, trying to attend regularly at least one or more of the Bible of one or more of the offered Bible studies or prayer meeting in the church? Or what about praying regularly through the church directory, person by person, household by household, and others whom we hear about in special needs? What about praying for the consistory regularly, that the Lord give them wisdom, joy, and blessing in their calling to shepherd the flock here. When once, I guarantee this for you, when once you think of giving yourself and ways to seek to be encouraging to others and also humbly and happily benefiting from others in the Christian fellowship, one with another, I tell you there is no end of ways to promote that, really, and to enjoy that. When you are committed to the communion of saints, you will find people hurting to help and cry along with and pray with. You will find needy to bless. You will find those with joys to rejoice with. You will find people godly to enjoy and benefit from communing together, living here and now in this earthly pilgrimage with all the ups and downs as we travel on to the eternal city. You know, there are so many common battles and struggles and enemies that we all face. How good when we, together with one another, uplift each other, seek to help each other, lift up one another's heads and hearts, ever looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation, gone up ahead before us. And you know what? What a witness that becomes for the watching world when the Christian church in its local congregations is demonstrating and enjoying immensely and unceasingly the Christian communion of saints. And the world notices too when the Christian church doesn't do that. But when there's lots of bickering and fighting and arguing and not loving one another, what a shame that is. Well, will you help the church be a light in this dark world, also in this way of exercising the communion of saints? So thankful that you may be able to do that, not in your own strength, but looking to Jesus and belonging to Him, remember? In this post-communion service, we are we living and will we live by God's grace and Spirit? So thankful for belonging to the Christian church and so enjoying the benefits of the communion of saints. And shouldn't the Lord's Supper sacrament ever remind us, congregation, to what extent the Lord Jesus Himself gives Himself to seek and to save sinners like us? I mean, doesn't the sacrament visibly portray before us every time to what measure Christ will minister to His people, to us, His gospel, word, and spirit? He would give His life even for undeserving sinners like us to the glory of His grace. And surely any and every time we are hesitant and unwilling to humble ourselves again before others, and to give of ourselves in love to others who maybe have hurt us, shouldn't we abandon that unwillingness and be ashamed of it even, remembering Jesus' unending self-sacrifice for His own, an undeserving, sinful people like you and me, giving Himself even to the death of the cross? And isn't this the only right response, congregation? When having truly participated at the Lord's Supper. Still thinking of the communion of saints, when you just compare to what people have living apart from Christ, just think about that. Don't we have to be so sad for them? I mean, people apart from Christ, they can have a common enthusiasm for a sports team, and they can have a real bond as fellow workers, which is not bad, fellow soldiers, fellow firemen. And you could have a special commitment and bond even as blood family members, or maybe as people having the same hobby or whatever. But you know, none of that can compare to the spiritual, eternal blessing of the communion of saints. All those other things, they will fall and fade away apart from Christ. But if you have communion of saints, it only gets better and better and finally perfected forever. So again here, if you, anyone here among us is a stranger to Christ, even hearing about the blessing of the communion of saints now this afternoon, let it draw you to Christ, the Savior of sinners. If you would really want a blessing, if you remember too Just think about that. What the Bible teaches us about those who live and die apart from Christ. The agonizing, eternal friction and hatred of the people in hell towards one another. Living there forever and ever. Never loving each other. Never caring for each other. Always angry with one another. It's awful. That'll be hell. But heaven will be a place of endless love and care for one another. Oh, it's a blessing for those joined to Christ as people repenting of sin and believing in Him, the communion of saints. It's an incomparable blessing. And the Savior still calls sinners to come to Him for every blessing from out of His fullness, grace for grace. Don't turn away from Jesus if you really will be blessed here and now and forever. As confessing believers and communicant members of Christ's church, will you and I, by God's grace and Spirit, commit to live most thankfully before God our Savior? Thankful, yes, for belonging to His church. Thankful for enjoying the benefits of the communion of saints. And very, very thankful, too, for this third gift from the ascended Savior, the captain of our salvation. And what is that? It's receiving the forgiveness of sins. I ask you, who can measure the worth of this gift, the forgiveness of our sins? You know, how many people are living daily under the oppressive weight and anxious bondage and guilt of their sins against them? They won't say it, but it's chasing them and bothering them, even if they can't express it. How many, most tragically, also live and die with unforgiven sins marked against them? But listen again, Jesus came that through His precious blood as captain of our salvation, through His precious blood shed on sinners' behalf, there might be full and free forgiveness of all our sins for all His people, even for as many as truly repent of sin and trust and follow Him as only Savior and Lord. Yes, as captain of salvation for us. You know, when speaking of the forgiveness of sins, we need to be clear what we mean by that. Some people think it only means, well, God will forget about our sins when he looks at what we do that's good. When He looks at what we've done, our best, and then He cancels out the wrongdoing that we've done because of the good that we do. But you know, the Bible clearly teaches us we don't do anything good before God, savingly good. All that we ever do, even if we think to do something good, is stained by sin and can never be acceptable to God if we want to gain points with Him. No, we need a Savior. We need the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus alone can save us from our sins. He alone can completely remove for us altogether our status as sinners, fallen sinners. He can remove for us our guilty stain as sinners. And He can remove for us all the sum of our vile sins as sinners. And you know how He does it? This is what Jesus alone can do and does. And He does it having lived the sinless life in His people's place. And when we trust Him, the Bible says that His sinless life gets imputed to us as our sins get put on Him. And along with that, with that sinless life of Jesus, He also then paid the punishment for sin that we deserve. He paid it to the full with His cursed death on the cross. And by His shed blood, He washes away all our sins so that they are no longer counted against us for Jesus' sake, those who look to Him. The Lord's forgiveness for His people's sins, you know what, congregation? It's a God-approved, it's a righteous, it's a complete, it's an eternal, free, full forgiveness of all our sins and sinfulness. It's wonderful, beyond words, this gift. It's astounding, infinite, marvelous forgiveness that washes us whiter than snow and forever reconciles us to God as His dear and beloved children. God only sees His redeemed people as renewed in and through Christ, and even as those who have never sinned, because He views us in Christ. And we may have His Spirit with us then, and we may run to God as our Father in our every need and sorrow and struggle, looking to Him as our Savior, forgiven by Him. This is the rich good news of the gospel, dear congregation. And there's nothing like it in all the world. And once more, our Reformed fathers, they captured and explained this splendid gospel of God's forgiveness, all by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. Listen to what they said, again, in question and answer 56. There to the question for the Christian, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? Just hear the answer based on God's word. I believe concerning the forgiveness of sins, what? That God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Wow. Isn't that most gracious and glorious? And doesn't this make possible a peace that passes understanding, and going to bed each night in real comfort and joy inexpressible? You know, no other religion of mankind, please know this, no other religion of mankind in the whole world teaches and preaches such a gospel of free and full forgiveness of sins as made known to us and shown to us in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. And again, isn't this forgiveness wonderfully confirmed and sealed to us in the Holy Sacrament of Lord's Supper, when eating and drinking there the bread and wine in remembrance of Him? It is surely visibly and wonderfully to remind us with all our senses by God's design about the complete remission of all our sins, the full and free redemption purchased for us by the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ the Lord. So I ask, will you live today very thankful also for this inexpressible gift of the forgiveness of all our sins and sinfulness for Jesus' sake alone? And when we really have thankfulness, won't that also help us in the fight against more sin? Won't it help us in the continued fight against temptation and against Satan and against worldliness, knowing also how much that forgiveness cost the Lord in the person and work of Jesus Christ? So, I ask you, in connection with also being thankful for the gift of forgiveness, won't that also show, dear congregation, in us being very willing and ready to forgive one another? Yes, also in the fellowship of the church, isn't it true? We can here below still hurt each other, still wrong each other, still make it difficult for one another. We even unwittingly, unknowingly sometimes, we can offend one another, isn't it true? Instead of encouraging the other. But I'm saying, if we know the forgiveness of Jesus towards us, shall we not be repeatedly forgiving in turn to others, even as they no doubt have to be towards us? The Bible says we can't truly know God's forgiveness of sins if we aren't willing and ready always to be showing forgiveness of sins towards others. Besides, let's always remember, too, that surely God's forgiveness towards us is infinitely greater than any forgiveness towards others that you and I might show to those around us. Here I come back to the reading of Ephesians 4. The whole of Ephesians 4 teaches us and reflects to us what thankful, gracious, humble, forgiving, long-suffering lives we should be living as true followers of Christ, receiving out of His fullness grace for grace as the captain of our salvation, giving His gifts to men. I encourage you to read Ephesians 4 more. Read it maybe every day this week. Will you ask God in thankfulness today that Ephesians 4 be reflected in your and my life as confessing Christians, especially as communicant church members, and that more and more and more till our last breath on earth? Isn't it living in this way also that we will care about the guilty and lost around us, praying and working to be a gospel light to them as God yet gives us opportunity? May God make us more zealous to make the forgiving Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ, known to others while it's yet the day of grace. Well, I think I'm going to end. I have a quote in the bulletin about, you know, there's a lot of ingratitude, unthankfulness in the world. And we are Christians. We can shine when we're grateful. When we're grateful. God help us to shine in gratefulness. To live in humble, happy thankfulness for all God's mercies and gracious gifts. Especially too for just the three gifts of His love as we thought about in this service. All of which are tremendous beyond words. And together they call for endless praise and thankfulness. Yes, to God triune as revealed in Jesus Christ. Come to serve as captain of salvation for us. Thanks for word and sacrament, telling and showing Him to us again today. Yes, thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for Him, the captain of our salvation and His gifts to men. Amen? Amen.